Judith and I'm a compulsive reader.
Hi, Judith.
I'm just going to qualify here. I've been absent since the 29th of November 2012. My top weight was 17 stone and 12 pounds. I took step four in March 2013 and I completed it. I started it actually in March 2013. I completed it in April 2013, 1 month it took me to do step four. Maybe 4 to 5 weeks. But okay, so I'm starting from the bottom of page 63. Now we launched out on a course of rigorous action. Here we go. So now we launched out on a course of rigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us have never attempted. Though our decision, and that was my third step decision, was a vital and crucial step. It could have little or permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which have blocked. And I always change these words to me, because instead of saying like blocking us, I always say blocking me, so it sort of resonates with me that this is not about, because I can, when I read a big book, I can always think about someone else, or I can think about the alcoholic, but I just have to change it. So this is the reason why I do step four, because I want to get rid of all the stuff that block me from my higher power. And liquor, for me, I changed that as well to food, was but a symptom. And I underline that word because that is when I, after doing these steps, I realise it's just a symptom, it's not the problem. It's the problem I found for me was the way I thought, my thinking was the problem. And it was manifested in my food and other addictions. We had to get down to causes and conditions. Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This was step four. A business that takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. And for me, with this regular inventory, people do the steps in many different ways. And some people do regular step four. They work with their sponsors and do them once every year. They go back and do another step four. My sponsor, she doesn't do that. You know, she believes in one step four and that is it. You don't go back and do another step four. For her, the way she sponsors me is that, you know, the clearing up is taking place in step 10. But I've done, since doing a step four in OA, which I talked about in March 13, I have done step four in other fellowships. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding, a fact-facing process. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock. And to me, the stock is about myself, the truth about myself and the obstacles. One object is to disclose damaged or unsalable goods to get rid of them promptly and without regret. If the owner of the business to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. And to me, what it is, when I do a step four, is an inventory of all that rubbish that's in my head, and it is rubbish when it comes out. At the time, I truly believe it, but when it's on the paper, I think, wow, you know, things I've held on for many years, you know, it's just like, it kills me, but that's why I do a step four. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup, which caused our failure. Being convinced that self-manifested in various ways is what has defeated us, we consider its common manifestation. Resentment is number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics, compulsive than anything else. From it stems all forms of spiritual disease, for we have not been only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady, and that's for me, is the separation from me and my higher power, is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. And that's what happened to me when I sorted out the relationship, started rebuilding that relationship with myself and my higher power. I became well physically, the weight started reducing for me, and mentally, that I just things I did wasn't as crazy as I was, you know, before I was absolutely crazy. And there I from repairing that relationship with my higher power, things started just getting better. They truly did. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. And this is a tool of writing. It's so important. And it starts here, you know, writing things down. We set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, principles we were angry with. And that's my column one. You know, all the people I was angry with, institutions for me, it was like the doctor, surgery, making me wait. You know, you know, look at me, who I am, you cannot make me wait. All these things, crazy things that I'm, that I'm above everybody else. Principles, for me, I didn't have a lot of principles, but there would be things like, I guess what my mum used to say, you reap what you sow, things like that. She'd say some things that used to really cut me badly, and those are things that I guess I put down on my step four in relation to the principles, just these old sayings that, I didn't like. We asked ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, we found out our self-esteem, our pocketbooks and our ambitions and our personal relationship. And for me, my second column I put down in where it says, in most cases, we found why we asked ourselves we were angry, and that was my column two. My sponsor called it a rant, just put everything, after we've done column one, listed all the people, institutions, principles, and that took me the week. I did a first week listing all the people, institutions and principles. Then she said, pen down. Week two, I listed why I was angry at these people. And then in week three, this is where I put down, we found out the reason why I was angry, which was my self-esteem, pocketbook, and ambitions and personal relationship, including sex, were threatened. So we were burned up. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name and injury. Was it self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relationship we had been interfered with? We would use it definite as this example. Here we have Bill's example, where he's angry with Mr. Brown. And that's the person, his step one, his column one, I'm resentful at Mr. Brown. His column two, the cause, his attention to my wife. He told my wife or my mistress, Brown, get my job at the office. And this affects his sex relationship. If another man's got attention to his wife might go off and have sex with him. That reflects his sex relationship. And if Mr. Brown tells his wife here that he's got a mistress, that might prevent his wife from having sex with him. That would affect his sex relationship. And fear as well, because she might leave him if he knows he's got a mistress. Mr. Brown getting my job at the office, that affects his security, because if someone else has got your job, then you won't have money. Your self-esteem, because if I've not got a job, I feel bad. But then he goes on, he lists all different people, why he's resentful at them, the causes and what effects for him. We went back through our lives, nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. And I underlined this because on my first ever step four, I couldn't be thorough. I wasn't thorough, nor was I honest. I didn't put everything down. And here it says it's got to be thorough and it's got to be honest, because if you don't, we'll just go back to the food. We will go back. And I did. When we finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. And that's all I ever got, before I came to the point that everyone was wrong. Everybody around me was wrong. And I was right. And I was hard done by. The unusual outcomes that people continue to wrong us and we stay sore, and I was sore. Sometimes it was remorse and we were sore at ourselves. But the more we thought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victory only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. And they were, because I never won. Even if I was right in a situation, it didn't feel good either. If someone actually did something to me, and I was actually right, that they should have done that, the pain was still the same as if I was in the wrong. I couldn't win on this. It is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to fertility and unhappiness. And for me, that's a promise. It's to me, if my life is filled with deep resentment, it would only lead to fertility and unhappiness. To the precise extent that we permit these and I also underlined here, permit, because it is, I just permit these things just go on and on in my head. Do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile? And I've lost many, many hours I'll never get back from just thinking about people. Some people are not even alive, people are not in my life anymore, and I still, over and over, they go around in my head. But with the alcoholic, the compulsive eater, who hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal, for when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit, and that's what I did for many, many years. I shut myself off from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity of alcohol, compulsive returns, and we drink, overeat again, a And to me, and to us, to drink, overeat is to die. And I had to believe that in order, because I wouldn't give these steps everything if I didn't believe that to overeat is to die. And I truly believe that for me to overeat is to die, because I can't live like that. I'm dying when I'm in the food. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brain still were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, compulsive, these things are poison. And they are, for me, they're poison. Now, some people can get away with, you know, cheating on their taxes and all things like that. I can't. I can't get away with what normal people can. But for me, you know, for me, the dishonesty will kill me. We turn back to our list, for it held the key to the future. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. We began to see the world and its people really dominated us. And for me, the word dominated means that people living in my head went free. And I heard it shared in AA once. They lived in my head, went free, years after years. In that state, the wrongdoing of others fancied they were real and had power to actually kill. And for me, I found out after my step four, that a lot of things were fancy. They weren't even real, some of the beliefs I had. They were just literally just things that I just had made up. And I'd carried them on, and from doing my step four, my sponsor pointed out, that's not real. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? We could not wish them away more than alcohol, food. This was our cause. We realised that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. They were, though we did not like their symptoms, and that's my column two, and the way they disturbed us, my column three, like ourselves, they were sick too. And I think my sponsor here said, I must remember, spiritual sick people do not have the capacity to forgive others. They don't. You know, when I come up against spiritual sick people, I actually believe I can get wellness from them. Is that the buzzer? Sorry, I can't. And I can't, you know, I can't expect wellness from spiritually sick people, and I had to learn that, you know, I can't. And I always think about, you know, I can't go to B&Q and buy a loaf of bread, because it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. We ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that I would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, I said to myself, this is a sick man, how can I be helpful to him? God save me from being angry, that will be done. And for me, well, that's for me is a step four prayer. And what I do with that is when I've done before, I prayed for people just over and over again for like 2 weeks, just pray for them, for the resentment to be removed. We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people. But at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. Referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others have done, we resolutely look for our own mistake. And this is my column four, looking for my mistake. Where had we been? Selfish, dishonest, self-seeking and frightened. Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The injury was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. And that's again going back to my column four, putting all of my faults down. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly, and we were willing to set those matters straight. And that's where my step four helps me, my step nine. You know, things that I've got my step four, they move over to my step nine. Notice the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, employer, and the wife. The short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It was even corroding Fred. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion trains of circumstance which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve, but did we not? Ourselves set the ball rolling. Sometimes we think fear to be classed with stealing and seems to cause more trouble. And that, what I've seen with my fear, when I make decisions based on fear, it always leads to more fear in my life. And I've done so many decisions I've made because I'm frightened. So I make this decision and all of a sudden, other things come, like moving, you know. I wanted to move to America, because if I move to America, everything's going to be all right. And that decision was truly based on fear. And after that, I just lived in fear constantly, day in, day out, because if I base my decision on fear, I'm still trapped with fear. I can't run from fear. And that's where a higher power. we've reared our fears. Now, this is for me, what I did, my sponsor did here, this was now my third inventory, my second inventory was, that's 5 minutes, my second inventory was my fear inventory. And here, what my sponsor said, we just as the big book said, we reared our fears thoroughly, put them down on paper, that's my column one. Even though we had no resentments in connection, we asked ourselves why we had them, that was my column two. Wasn't it because we self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worth. Perhaps there was a better way, we think so, for we are now on a different basis, a basis of trusting and relying upon God. And that's, I come up with fear every day, and every day is about, you know, relying on God, because it just goes back to that. And I remember someone saying to me, my fears, you know, they boil down to me losing something. I'm either fearful that I'm going to lose something, I'm not going to get something, or I'm going to get found out. And they're those three things that just come up over and over again with fear. And basically, it's just, I guess it's a choice for me, really. You know, I have trust in a higher power, or I rely on my self-will. And when I do, it just results in me just being even more fearful. And here it says, we trust infinite God rather than our finite self. We're in a world to play the role He assigns, just to the extent that we do as we think He would have us, and humbly rely on Him. Does He enable us to match clemency with serenity? And that's a promise to me, you know. When I rely on Him, I can match clemency with serenity. We never apologise to anyone for depending on our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality is a way of weakness. Paradoxically, it's a way of strength. And that's all I've found, is that, you know, the more and more I rely on a higher power, the more and more I build up, I have strength and courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologise for God. Instead, we let Him demonstrate to us what He can do. We ask Him to move our fear and direct our attention to what He would have us be. At once, we commence to outgrow fear. And that's my sponsor called the fear prayer. And then the third inventory I did was the sex inventory. And the sex inventory, how much time have I got now?
2.5 minutes.
Okay, in relation to my sex inventory, I am going to jump to page 69. And it's at the middle of the first paragraph. We do not want to be an arbiter of anyone's sex conduct. And that's advice to me as a sponsor. You know, I do not want to tell anyone about how to, you know, about their sex conduct. Because, you know, I truly don't know. And that's what I put, you know, I've always put that down. I cannot get involved. Because we, as the big book says, next sentence, we all have sex problems. We'd hardly be human if we didn't. What can we do about them? And this is what I did in relation to my sex inventory. We reviewed our own conduct over the years past. We had been selfish, I listed that, dishonest, inconsiderate. Whom have I hurt? Did we unjustly arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Where were we at fault? What should we have done instead? So there's 8 things there that I listed. I put them all down on paper. And I... In the bottom paragraph, it said, in meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. The right answer will come if we want it. God alone can judge our sex situation. I'm going to move to the last paragraph on page 70. In this book, you read again and again what faith did for us and what we could not do for ourselves. And that's from me over and over again. Faith, no, you just say my higher power does for me what I can't do for myself, because I could not get abstinent. And through the grace of a higher power, I'm abstinent one day at a time. And that's many things. There's so many things I could, you know, I could be here for all day listening to things that I can't do. And it's evidence in my life the higher power has done for me what things that I never and I know, would have been able to do in a higher power. Has done for me what I cannot do. We hope you're convinced that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from Him. If you've already made a decision, that's your step 3 decision. An inventory, your step 4, on your grossly handicapped, you have made a good beginning. That beginning, that meet, being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself.
Thank you. Now that I'm on each step, or another aspect of the programme, please remember